That buttery smooth radio voice is warmed up. Hey. This is Fat the Mix. Let's see. This week, one dad struggles as his... slow down. This week, one dad struggles as his son is exposed to a horror game too old for him, causing him a dad terror of his own. He is becoming his father. Meanwhile, another dad is fighting through sleep regression and his... Hit the syllables. This week, one dad struggles as his son is exposed to a horror game too old for him, causing the dad a terror of his own. He is becoming his father. Meanwhile, another dad is fighting through sleep regression as his nights become a different type of terror. In the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, we meet David and his son Sam, who achieve a gaming feat the same day, years apart. All this, Gaming Dad News of the Week, and more on New Dad Gaming. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-month-old.
And I'm Jeff, I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. I also have a story about my 7-year-old that I'd like to share with everybody, a gaming dad moment.
Ooh, gaming dad 7-year-old, do tell.
Yeah. So this hasn't happened to me yet. Well, it just happened to me. I think I'm turning into my parents, which is a bad sign.
Oh, no. It's happening.
I know, it was kind of a wake-up call. So my son went over to the neighbor's house, just as like a play date or whatever. They went over there for a couple hours. He came back, no problem. I found out later, traveling in the car, picking him up from Taekwondo after school. And he said, Dad, do you know about the game Five Nights at Freddy's?
Like, oh, gosh. No. So, no, not that. That's awful.
Right? Jeez. So I have never actually played the game, but I know what it's about, right? I try to keep my fingers in kind of every gaming news and game out there, so I know what, you know, the young kids are talking about. So I haven't actually played it, but I know it's pretty creepy. It's like a surveillance kind of type game. And as soon as he said it, I'm like, why? How do you know about this game? Because I'm thinking somebody brought maybe a phone to school, you know, like everybody is all digitized now. So it turns out he was playing this game at his friend's house for a couple hours. And I didn't know where to go with that, because I'm like, okay, because I didn't want to like brush it off as like, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You should have asked me and stuff. I wanted to play it like, okay, well, you know, we need to have a talk of, you know, what did you feel like in that game? Was it scary? Did it, you know, are you going to have nightmares from it? Or what did you do in the game? You know, what's right, what's wrong, what's real, what's fake, all that stuff kind of like flooded in, because I'm trying to like grab words and grasp concepts to like feed him, like, okay, you know, I still want him to come with me, or come to me if he's had, you know, a problem or a game that he's seen that he's not supposed to. But that one just kind of threw me off. And I had to kind of like pull him back, and it was, I totally pictured my parents just like, okay, we saw you playing this violent video game and we need to talk about it. So yeah. He was like, I'm having flashbacks at the same time while trying to talk to my kid, because, you know, he probably can consume it, but I think it's still a little too young for him to get into. And the neighbor is only one grade higher, so he technically shouldn't be into this stuff. But, you know, I guess, yeah, I should have been more on top of it, but...
Different houses, different rules, and that's, you know, that is what it is. But, oh, that is so difficult, because it's...
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be lax and trying to be cool dad, where you're just...
No.
Hey, play whatever you want. Don't worry about it. And that game especially, it's just like the jump scares, some of the notions. That, like, I would have thought for sure he would have nightmares from that one.
Well, and he said he didn't have a problem with it. He just thought it was kind of silly and fun. Which I guess is a good sign, maybe, because it is pretty creepy and it's got all the jump scares. And I was reading behind it, like the actual story, because I've never actually played it. And it's about these dead kids that are trying to warn the parents or warn this the newcomer into this world, like, to get out. And that's what the jump scares are all about. So I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's like, what that is? Like,
they're all dressed in these dead animal costumes. And they're the dead kids that this guy has kind of gotten rid of in this, I forget what it was, a house or amusement park or bowling alley or whatever it was. So that's the onset. Like, that's the premise.
So talk through how you did handle it. So it was, walk me through it. So you found out in the car, and that takes you, and you get shocked. And then you get scared because it's kind of like how the heck do I play this? So, the calculations are just flying through your head. your dad trajectory, how is this going to go down? What's the right move? So from that point on, what on earth did you do?
Well, it's like you said, everything kind of flooded over me at once. I didn't want to totally, say that was wrong so that he doesn't come back to me with other things that he's seen. I want that open relationship. I just had to ask him, what did he see? How did it make him feel? What did he do in the game? Does he know that what happens in the game does not happen in real life? To make that connection, what you do in this thing is not of a real world that has real consequences if you did something like that. And he was totally answering everything of course, I know it's just a silly game. And, it was giving me some confidence that he actually knew what he was taking in. Mm-hmm. I did put some ground rules in saying that if you are ever introduced into a new game like that at this neighbor's house or any kid's house, that you kind of give me a heads up or that you need to come and ask me first, just so I know what he's getting into. Because again, floods of ideas of, there's Call of Duty not far off. There's other things that are way more realistic and way more action heavy, that could get into his world, and you can't really unsee that. So I don't want to protect him too much because he is getting up in age. He's almost 8. That's still pretty young for that kind of stuff, I find. So I'm not comfortable at that level yet. He's seen movies like Star Wars and stuff. So there is some violence in his life. I won't totally say that there's no violence that he has ever watched, but nothing to this kind of creepy psychological extent where I think it could kind of influence his decisions. So it was just kind of sitting him down, make sure he understood. I didn't necessarily want him to play that game again without any parent available, so that if I'm there or I talk to the neighbor's dad, that somebody's there to kind of oversee it next time that they're doing this. But we've kind of put pause on it for now until we can kind of come back to it. I think it was just kind of a once off the top kind of thing. So
it's the type of thing where if he had access to it in the house, it's hard enough to, within the realm of your control.
Yeah.
Here's how this is going to go down. Cause you always have the out. You can just say, look, it's too old. Give it a couple of years. You can do it. But the friend house thing, much goes on. Like we grew up too. Like we were kids. Yeah. So much happens at friends' houses.
Yes. And so
and to have your kids I'm nowhere near that point yet. I'm dealing with a 2.5-year-old, and the thought of them marching off to a space of which I have no abilities. And then what do you do? You can never see that kid again. That's terrible.
We don't want to go do that at all.
Don't you dare see this again. Well, what's the one thing he's going to want to do? As soon as you say that.
Exactly. I don't want that rebellion just because I say he couldn't do it. Now he's going to go and hunt it down. Mm-hmm. And there's camps that he's done. So on PD days and March break coming up, and even summer camps, where a lot of parents send their kids with the 3DS, a mobile phone, or an iPad. Mm. And they do have these types of games on there. So it's not like I can limit everything at all times. And it's kind of that one moment where I realize that I can't protect them forever. There's going to be little things like this that kind of bleed through. And this is just, it hit a little bit harder because I was kind of in this world before, and it's gaming and it's that bond that I've created with him. So I kind of felt it was my realm and something that I had to kind of deal with and speak up too. So
there's this podcast you should listen to, son.
You know what? We discuss a lot of these issues.
Please don't listen to this podcast, son.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That give it out a couple of years.
That is certainly disallowed in this household. Yeah, that is a certain a coming of age story from fatherhood perspective. It sounds like, as best as I can tell, you handled it about as great as you could. As far as, it's almost like you've expressed displeasure without expressing displeasure, where he gets the sense that you're not super cool with it, but you're not going to be overbearing about it.
I think so. I think, and it's going to take more kind of conversation, more work, and more, you know, more on my part to kind of keep that in check as well, because I was letting the boundaries loose a little bit, and I might just have to kind of tighten them a little bit just to kind of make sure that he's okay to enter this next phase, I guess.
If anything, it's good practice, because the problem will be if he gets into the next level of games. Like if he gets into Grand Theft Auto, if he gets into Call of Duty, which that's got to be about the worst one.
I think so. Just because it's so realistic and there's, you know, a lot of death, blood, guts, swearing.
Yeah, mostly just from the other players, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking online space too, right? We're not there yet, and that's something I can lock down to a point, right? But.
Well, in your house, not in the friend's house.
Yeah, that's exactly what got me thinking, right? So, and then I don't know what he's exactly exposed to. So, again, a little bit more work on my part, I think, just to kind of know what he's viewing and know what he's kind of taking in, which, you know, is always kind of like a quick little blow. You're like, oh, yeah, right, reality.
And the cat's in the cradle with the silver spoon.
There we go.
Dad, why are you singing and crying?
you're rocking in the corner. Oh, please.
Oh, and just like knowing it too. Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever play the Leisure Suit Larry games?
I did.
Yeah, of course. I know I was way too young when I played that stuff.
Oh yeah, and even like Duke Nukem with the
the
2D sprite strippers.
Yeah, that was probably the first one. So firstly, like the game, I mean Duke Nukem with the blood and everything else, it's nonsense. Like it's awful. And then the nudity, like you can get in. It's not even just nudity. Yep. It's like paying strippers.
Yeah,
and you're like, what, like eight?
It's
like
pretty bad.
10, 12? Jeez, I can't remember the exact time, but that's going to be tricky. Man, we are becoming our parents.
That was my, like, the last thing I left on with was just, oh no, it's happening. This is something I'm going to have to deal with and turn into my parents. That's why they did this to me. I understand now. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. So I'll use that as a segue because like that was my – so as I was sitting there for the second hour of trying to convince my son to go to bed, I was thinking, you know, when he's older, if he has children, like will I relish how awful it is for him because what he's putting me through, much like my parents must have relished it a little bit and their parents before them. Like, is it this cycle? Much like becoming your parents, like, do you get that a little sense of satisfaction of like, remember the time when you put me through hell? You will go through this hell. Your child will put you through this. Oh, because, on our side, like, our the oldest is just absolutely regressed from a sleeping standpoint.
Man.
I mean, I'll say this. So he still sleeps through the night.
That's good. That's a silver lining.
Yeah, it's just like it's going to bed later, waking up earlier, and he's currently in a crib, and it's not really because we see that as age appropriate. It's more just that's the bed we have at the moment.
Right.
And the only nice thing about it was that he wasn't able to really escape from it, so that if there needed to be if a line has to be drawn, because at some point they're too far gone.
Yep.
It's like, okay, you are staying in bed now, and you let them work through it a little bit.
Right.
That doesn't work anymore because he knows how to exit the crib and he knows how to turn on the lights and knows how to open the door. So we've been just glued to the monitor in horror as he performs these acrobatics and proceeds to just like exit at his leisure, like whenever he wants to, and just stroll around. So at the moment, we have guests over, so we can't, we need to do this whole furniture song and dance to kind of reset up the room.
Right.
We're going to get rid of the crib. We'll put him onto, he rolls around a lot, so we can't put him on any type of bed. Oh, funny story. We have bought, and not even just quick, like a tiny aside is a better way to say it. We have bought and failed at installing two damn bedside insulations.
Oh.
So the sidings on beds that you can add for
the
toddlers.
Rails?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero for two. We bought two of the damn things and just like put it into the side. It's like, under what perfect bed situation do these things fit? Like nothing has worked so far. Like it's just the way the mattress and the bed frame work.
Right.
Zero for two. Like we got...
I never even bothered. You're going to get pillows.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're just going to go with the floor for the first bit and then work onto the pillows too. But that's just our life now. And it's just this fight. It is just this every night engagement. And the unfortunate thing too is it leads to so many other problems with how important and incredibly critical sleep is.
Yep.
Because he'll have a terrible sleep, and then he'll be in an awful mood, and then your day goes down, and then you have to try to put him in bed again, which off it goes.
It domino effects, right? Now, I will say I relate because when my, 2.5-year-old was out of the crib, he was almost three because we were expecting another one, so he was put in a bed. And as soon as he got that bed, and it's one of those low beds, like from IKEA. So if he falls, it's like, I don't know, 4 inches from the ground kind of thing. So it's like no damage. It's fine, whatever. But as soon as he got that bed, all of a sudden, he knows how to work the doorknob and break the doorknob like child protector. He knows how to split that thing in half.
Oh, my.
Turn on the light. Open up the door. And he's not like he's disruptive, but he's not trying to like... say, I'm not going to bed. He's like, oh, I have to go to the washroom again. Like, it's like this newfound freedom that he has to test out. So that was a good probably month or two trying to beat that down. It's just like, no, you have to stay in your room. Like, this is your bedtime. And this kid was a super sleeper before in the crib. Like, he would go down at 7. He would be out until 7 a.m. Like, it was perfect. And then as soon as the bed hit, it was like, nope, that's not going to happen.
It's just like you have this tiny speck of quiet, happy solitude. It's just like as wonderful that they are, it's really trying sometimes. And then, okay, they're going to go to bed, though, and they'll sleep, and there's going to be just a little calm. You're going to get
a
little bit of rest.
You need a break. You need your own recharge.
And then they just take it from you. they just take it from you.
You know what? You don't deserve this. I'm going to wake up and cause a stir.
And you have nothing. Nothing, I tell you.
Yep.
So, but anyway, that's our transition. So we got to go back through the sleep training. But that's our night. Like, we are recording this podcast late because I could not get him down in time for our usual recording time. So, but... it will get better. It'll improve.
And it will.
At least he's not playing violent games or Leisure Suit Larry. I'll say
that's to come later.
Oh, all too soon, I'm afraid. All too soon. But on to bigger things, on to better things. It's time for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Each week we feature an exceptional gaming dad and often their kids who are doing fatherhood and gaming so well. This week's victory goes to gaming dad David, who had his son Sam match an old achievement of his right on its anniversary. So, the game Forza Horizon, which is an amazing title that really holds up to this day, the son Sam had gotten right into it. Now, with Xbox achievements, you can see the achievements of your friends, and this father-son duo are linked up on the service. And on this particular day, the son grabs the Barn This Way achievement. On the exact same day, the exact same day, just 5 years apart from when the father first got it. So it's...
that's pretty cool, yeah.
Man, so the son gets into the same game that the father did. It's a great game. And just to see him chasing and beating it down, this this competition that's fostering between this father and son duo. Like, how awesome is that?
No, that's fantastic, because it creates that bond in gaming. I've had it with my son, and eventually have kind of like an online record of that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat. Like, that's just like the icing on the cake. And to have it on the same day 5 years later is kind of, it's the cherry on that. Yeah. So it's cool. I hope to do that one day too.
And the son brings it up to the dad too. It's part of their competition, their fun going back and forth. It's like, oh, look what I got, or look at this. And they noticed it, and geez, right on the anniversary. Like, how perfect. So to include some of his words, it's fun to stir up a little bit of competition. It's amazing how kids pick things up quick. I remember when he first tried playing NES ice hockey. The second game he ever played, Little Big Planet Racing being his first. He was clumsy on the controls, but now he's NHL 11 on the PS3. With controls a lot more complicated. It's really fun to play together, and now my 3-year-old daughter is starting to have an interest as well, Mario Kart, as well as anything else Mario. Man, so getting into hockey, like NHL, imagine playing any NHL game with them. Especially, so, yeah. Man, that's a classic move, like starting them back on the NES versions.
Oh, God, yes. Like I still remember Super Nintendo. I think I had the NHL 93 or something. I don't know. It was around that time that I played with my brother all the time. So to have your dad involved or your parents.
Oh, yeah. And then to hear the 3-year-old is also taking up the torch, continuing. Yeah. Now, if the 3-year-old gets the same Barn This Way achievement.
Right.
10 years past when he gets it, then we have a true family dynasty.
That's right. We need to extend that. Yeah. Well, here in 5 years.
They better get Xbox achievements Xbox Live for life if they pull that one off. But congratulations on leveling to Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, to the Gaming Dad David, and to his fast-driving son Sam. Keep up the gaming. If you'd like to be nominated for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week Award or know somebody else deserving, please send along their information to us from our website at newdadgaming.com.
Hats off to them both. But now for this week's gaming cheat sheet, we run down the highlights of what happened in the world of gaming. Monster Hunter World released just 2 weeks ago and is already setting records. With a combined 6 million units shipped, it's become the fastest Capcom game of all time. With the PC version set to release later this year, there's no doubt that those numbers will continue to grow. Another chart topper was Shadow of the Colossus Remake, with its debuting at number one in the UK and beating out its predecessor on the PS2 by more than 70% at launch. Nintendo was also busy releasing more details about their online service, which goes live this September. They're not giving any specifics besides it'll be worth the wait. The company also confirmed that starting in March, players can purchase Switch games with their My Nintendo points. And this week, we also had a glimpse of the much-anticipated Kingdom Hearts 3, with another trailer released during the Disney D23 show in Tokyo, Japan. No word on the release date for that, other than sometime in 2018. And pulling in massive numbers, Fortnite hits 3.4 million concurrent users on all platforms, causing server disruptions and beating out PUBG numbers. Now, that number is likely across all platforms, whereas PUBG is on PC alone, but it's still very impressive. And remember microtransactions? Well, it looks like they're here to stay, with Activision Blizzard making $4 billion on them in the last year, more than half their total net revenue in 2017. And however, there might be a wrench thrown into those plans, with Sweden and joining Germany and considering legislation for loot boxes. They might label it as a form of gambling and would be subject to stricter rules. It's reported that this could all happen as soon as 2019. And to tickle your nostalgic fingertips comes the remake and re-release of the enormous Xbox controller, nicknamed the Duke, that shipped with the original Xbox. It's being remade by a third party to be used with the Xbox One and has received the blessing from Microsoft. It'll be ready for sale in late March for about $70 US. And some tabletop gaming news. After 40 years, the publisher of Settlers of Catan is closing. Mayfair Games has sold their catalog to Asmodee, who will continue to publish the game. But on the game release front, some notables this week include Kingdom Come, Deliverance, Dynasty Warriors 9, the console release of Owlboy, The Secret of Mana remaster, and a whole slew of PSVR games, including Drunken Bar Fight, Knockout League, Sprint Vector, and Pop-Up Pilgrims. And if you're like me and haven't bought Overwatch yet, you can try it out for free this weekend on all platforms. That's the gaming cheat sheet for the week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
Man, So neither of us have played Fortnite.
No, I know. And I've downloaded it. I just haven't.
What?
I haven't booted it up. I don't know.
You missed the biggest weekend ever. You could have been.
I know.
You've been one of millions. Millions, I tell you.
I know. It's something. I think it's something. I don't think the style, the aesthetic of it really grabs me. I don't like the cartoony feel, but that's just me. Like, I know, obviously, a lot of people enjoy it, but.
Now, is Fortnite. No, so I've heard like the Battle Royale version is free.
Yeah.
But like, can you just download that part alone and it's just free? You can go at it? Or do you have to buy?
Yeah, you don't have to buy the game. Just free, go nuts.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. That half makes me almost want to try it, but.
Yeah.
I'm just so bad at these type of things.
Well, that's part of it too. It's like you go in there and you have to be good. Otherwise, like there's no training area that you can really kind of hone your skills.
Yeah, just nothing but YouTube videos and prayers. And speaking of being bad at games, so with the Overwatch free weekend,
right?
Would you dip your toe back in, give it another try?
You know what?
So many dad victories are coming up with Overwatch.
Like that is true. That is very true. And maybe for the purpose of this podcast, I will download it, and I will share with you my horrible gaming experience with it. But you never know. Maybe I am just a prodigy waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. For all I know, by next week you'll have joined the professional E-League, and you'll be. I have no time for this podcast. I'm flying out to South Korea for the next.
That's it. Quitting my day job. Yeah.
And off you go. But
I'll try it. You've convinced me to at least try it. Well, I tried it once before, but it wasn't great. But I'll try it again.
Very, very good. So what would you say if I told you that I slayed my first Colossi?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it finally happened. Okay, so PS2 released, like, what is that, 10 years ago? Like, when did the first one release?
Oh, yeah, it was over 10 years ago. It's probably around 10.
Let's just call it 10. So, I mean, like, this game has haunted me since that time. It looked so up my alley. It looked so awesome, and I just never found it. I don't know why. And even on the PS3, when they had their remaster or whatever version of it, I thought, okay, maybe that. But at the time, I went the Xbox route, so missed it again. So here it was. I loaded it up. I played it. And so, like I said, I've only gotten to the first guy.
Yeah.
And even so, just the scale of it, and you're just this ant on a mountain, like desperately clawing up and trying to stab it.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I don't feel very good about killing it, though.
See, this is the whole, this is the game. So I'm interested to hear your reaction when you've kind of completely done it. But yeah, you kind of feel bad, right? Like that's the whole kind of push-pull.
Yeah, like I know I'm supposed to because the story, but I mean like the unfortunate thing is like without much story behind it, and maybe like I'll get more as we go, but it's like, hey, this girl died, I want to save it.
Yep.
As opposed to the size and the scale of this Colossi, which is just like what is that, like 200 times the size of your character?
Yeah, and I feel like you're somewhat spoiled playing it on new hardware because on the PS2, like it was like insane, and it would chug, like the frame rate would just drop off a cliff.
Yeah,
because this thing was huge.
Oh, the thing it is just gorgeous. But like, yeah, like I was killing it. I'm like this thing's the beast is beautiful. I don't know if it's like really, the actual like stabbing of it is so like visceral. You know what I mean? Like it's not like the kind of like highly stylized slashing where it's just, you know, you got this kind of flourish and it looks as if it kind of passes through this body. Like this is really getting into it. And it's like, man, I don't feel very good about this. This isn't,
no.
which is good. And this is all like interesting emotions, right? As far as the game goes, like to have this game already elicit this type of, you said it well, push and pull as far as like your motivations.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But yeah, after 10 plus years of waiting on this title, I have finally killed a Colossi.
Yes.
It happened.
See, it's funny that you mentioned it too, because I just started downloading it.
Nice. You got into it.
Well, I got a 20% off code from the nice internet people that got it in the PlayStation emails that I don't get. And I wanted to apply it to that. So I'm interested in jumping in and seeing what they've done with it, because I remember it being totally different on the PS2, and just like a not a lot going on in the world. So I'm interested to see how that, because I've seen screenshots and there's grass out of all things. Like, that to me changes the landscape dramatically. So.
Yeah, Grass Simulator 2018. Perfect.
Yep.
Finally. Yeah. Yeah, otherwise on the gaming front, there just really hasn't been much for myself. Like, there's been, I keep getting pulled back into Street Fighter. Like, I want to start really spending some, now that I'm kind of especially done with Destiny, like, have not touched that one again.
You
like
called it, eh?
Yeah, just not, it's great. Like, again, like, really happy with the experience. You know, and again, I'd even say, like, money well spent. Like, I'm a satisfied customer.
Right.
I'm just done. Like, I don't really want to kind of zip around. I'll say this, like, there's an event coming up over the coming days, Valentine's themed.
Oh, okay.
So they're calling it Crimson Days or something like that. It's the type of thing that's kind of cool and cutesy enough that it's like, oh, I'll pop in again.
Right.
So I think that's the place, like, that's kind of taken up for me at the moment. But it's, no, so, and having done that now for a while where there was nothing, you know, I wasn't achieving anything, quote unquote. Like, I'm kind of in a mood where I want to finish some games.
Right, yeah.
And that's why, that's why Shadow of the Colossus was there. Although, if to become a hypocrite, immediately, I'd actually been playing a bit of No Man's Sky.
Oh, jump back in there.
Yeah. Although, I'm not a hypocrite. Never mind. The reason I want to do this is because I never did beat it. Like, there is an ending, right? Like,
yeah, you're true.
There is a story. I mean, there's a bigger world where you keep on going. You always explore. There's that, like, never-ending aspect. But, I mean, there is a story part of it. And there's some part of me where it's like, you know, for as much as I hyped this game, as much as I loved it and espoused its virtues, I never finished the thing.
That's right. Yeah, you do need to do that. You owe yourself that.
I owe everybody that. There's a lot of people waiting for that. But what does Trevor think of the ending from 2 years ago?
Do you know that? Do you know the ending, or are you going in blind?
I've heard some, like, I've kind of pieced some things together from reading online, like, not actively, like, and I've been trying to avoid, like, here's the end of the game discussion thread.
Right.
I've kind of pieced together what some of the things, what it might be, but still kind of curious to give that a shot. So I think the intention, the gaming world for myself at the moment is trying to get better at Street Fighter and trying to finish No Man's Sky. Street Fighter, they just announced Blanka being released on the 20th. Man, that guy looks fun. It's so ridiculous.
They totally have you. You're like, yes, Blanka, jump back in.
Finally, Blanka. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, what's funny is this, like, we talk about, my curse of never-ending games, but it's just with Street Fighter, it's weird because it almost feels like a skill.
Where it's
like translatable. With Destiny, you're just going to pour time into it and, all right, so you're good at Destiny. But Street Fighter, it's like there's like tournaments and there's like other fighting games. Like, that you could, there's other things you can participate in with that.
Yeah.
And once you have it, like you're kind of good forever. Like, if another Street Fighter game comes up, you have some of the core mechanics ready to go.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're interested in the world, which, like, I think I'm definitely becoming more and more, it's just, you know, you get past that initial issue and, yeah, it's kind of limitless where you could take it.
Good to go.
Yes, but on your side, like, what have you been playing here lately? Have you been still, or have you refound your VR legs, or are you still taking a break from that?
I would like to get back on my PS4, but my wife is addicted to Stardew Valley.
Oh, no.
There has been countless hours poured into that. Her farm's doing very well. Her chickens are hatched.
So we're going to have a farm update every week now?
Should. From the farm. I should post screenshots of how it progresses over the time where I don't get to get on there. So, yeah, that's my gaming time. I've been on Netflix on the tablet while she plays her farm, which is, you know, it's a charming game. I don't mind. But, yeah, she's totally, like, legs deep, knee deep, I guess, in this, becoming a pixel farmer for her little world. She's already got a husband in that game. Looks nothing like me, which I find offensive.
Real interesting. you should try to bring it up in dinner too. She's like, oh, I might go, you know, maybe we'll play a little bit of game. Like, oh, you're going to go spend time with Chad? Like, are you jealous of my pixel husband?
No. You know what?
I bet Chad isn't the jealous type.
Yeah, I could see those conversations coming. You never know.
No, I mean, it's good on you for sacrificing your game time to let her play that.
It's a be careful what you wish for, I think. I think she said that to me, you know, because I've always wanted her to get into gaming a little bit more than Tetris. So now that she's there, you know, I'm both proud and crying in a corner saying, you know, just brushing my PS4, just, I miss you.
Now, if the, in a world where money wasn't necessarily an object, like I'm sure you've seen some photos of the dual gaming setup. So, yes. Like, it's, and I'll say that, like, I'd seen it first time maybe a couple of years ago, but all of a sudden, like, it seems to be popping up more and more. And I guess as it's becoming really a couple activity. So yeah. This is where, like, there's two TVs, two PlayStations,
right.
Two chairs. So it's very much like the couple activity. Is that a setup? And again, like, imagine, like, money isn't necessarily an issue. Is that a setup you would consider for your house?
I totally would if money wasn't an issue. Because even if, say, this game kind of went out for her and she was kind of done for a while, at least I could game and she could watch something. Like, I could have my headphones on or whatever and game and she could do something. But it would be pretty cool to have, you know, either a co-op game or we're both playing games and sharing stories that way, because that's very much a part of me. So for her to kind of get into that is cool. So yeah, if dollars were just thrown at me to do that, that'd be perfect. What about you though? Would that be something that you're
so the thing is, like, what the benefit of in the one scenario where it's just like my wife wants to watch something on TV and I want to play, that happened a whole bunch, and especially when we had our in-laws living with us for the birth of our second.
Yep.
I just use the PSVR headset. So,
yes.
Because you remember, like, it works as a screen. So, like, they would be watching the TV, and I would just toss on the headset, and I'm right in the game world. And the thing is, like, I'd usually just keep one ear open as well, so I'm still kind of talking with them despite having this crazy blue space helmet on my face.
And turning to them and talking while you're in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it solves a lot of problems.
So that one worked. I mean, if it was – it's a weird – kind of show of excess, but I guess it depends, like, how much if she, much like myself, would, like, love to be able to game every day.
Yeah.
And we both, it got to a point where, like, we could game every day, and then there's only, like, the one system that you both want to use. You know, I could see, like, if that is your hobby,
yeah,
you can pick up a monitor you could even use, costs like $100. The PS4, I mean, that would be obviously, like, the biggest hit of it all as far as the cost thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I could see it, especially be kind of – it always seems kind of cute to me that there's, like, two chairs, two TVs, and the two of you are just there sharing snacks and kind of laughing and going through things.
Yeah.
And especially doing co-op. And then I think about, too, like, if that ends up being the setup you use for your kid.
Well, that's what I was thinking, right? Like, it would be something that's, I don't know, very – like, it seems odd to say, but it is family time. You know, everybody is kind of in there, and my kids are watching her play, and they're, you know, my oldest son is doing the math in his head to see how many beets she can afford to plant with her money. And my youngest son is there saying, you know, there's these little worms that pop up that you're supposed to kind of grab and see if there's an artifact underneath. So he's spotting those on the screen when they pop up. So it's very much of an interactive family experience. And it kind of seems odd to say that about a video game, but I think that is as much part of a family time as anything else, of like a conversation around a dinner table or a board game or anything like that. It's like when you have that collaboration and conversation, I think that's where it's pretty neat. And, you know, we all kind of go back to bed with, you know, little stories about, you know, what happened during that day. So I think that's kind of cool, especially in the winter that we're having where we can't go outside and we're kind of stuck inside trying to keep warm. Mm-hmm. It's a neat experience, so, to have two screens, two chairs, and that kind of thing going.
I mean, it becomes an interesting conversation, because I think ultimately no one particularly bats an eye. I mean, you say movie night or even like a little bit of TV.
Right.
And
right.
You know, let's say that's an hour, that's a 2 hour thing. And that's still great. I think especially with movies too, that's an especially warm. That is something from a family perspective I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. Like we can huddle around and watch like Disney movies and just have that kind of quiet family time. Like I'm really looking forward to that.
Right.
I think I have fond memories of that as a kid. But I mean, like the thought of like instead of watching a movie, like you're interacting with a game, and especially something like Stardew Valley, mm-hmm. where they're planting and it's management, and like you said, there's like math, and like you can kind of work together creatively on it, and like create craft stories from it. Like there's something that almost seems better about that, as far as like an entertainment medium, and not better as in like what you like, do what you do, like that's fine. I just mean how demonized video game tends to be. But if you think about that scenario where like your kid is doing math and your other kid is creating stories and assisting and participating, like that's a very active type of engagement with an entertainment medium.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's just it's getting them to respond to what's on screen, asking questions. We're there to answer those questions, and it comes a learning experience for all of us. You know, we're learning to play the game. They're learning, you know, other things that, you know, they might not want to sit down and do a math sheet or learn about certain aspects of the game. But when it kind of comes organically and naturally, it's kind of a neat way to introduce different concepts to them. So it's not going to take them, you know, to rocket science, but, you know, it's kind of every little bit helps.
Kerbal Space Program, not that far off.
right. So, but that's been a great one. Again, I totally recommend Stardew Valley for those kind of situations. There is going to be a co-op mode in 2 months, so that's also exciting. So maybe a dual setup's the way to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we are crafting a pretty good argument for you getting a dual setup. Just saying.
See, I think so. Yeah.
At least, look, all you need is another PlayStation 4. You have your headset. You're set.
That's right.
I mean, it's almost irresponsible not to do it. This is about family, Jeff.
It's an investment in the family.
Don't you like your family?
Good argument. I like it.
Thank you. So just play this recording. I think everything's going to turn out fine. You see, son, when you spend a second night at Freddy's, what tends to happen?
Yes, God.
Oh, man, that game. Anyways,
oh, no.
That should do it for us here. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com. We'd love to hear about show ideas, any questions, ideas. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter or Facebook or reach us that way, we'd love to hear from you as well. The podcast itself you can find on iTunes, Google Play, and any other podcasting service. We do this podcast weekly, and thank you so much for listening. We'd love it for a subscription, a like, and passing it along to a new dad who games. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See ya.